Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll have Jim Traber coming up at 9:30. We'll have NFL playoff talk in the next segment. And here at the top of the show, the playoff pairings were announced Friday afternoon for classes A and B, high school basketball. So we're going to run those down, tell you where your favorite team will be, all the Paragon teams that are in Class A and B, some others from around the area as well. We'll dive in to what the path looks like. The brackets won't be out until, I believe, Friday is when the brackets get set. So that is where – actually, no, it's not. It's not Friday. It's next Monday, the 24th, I think, is the bracket release. But we know where everybody's going, what the path looks like, and we'll talk about that here at the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. You hit the Listen Live tab, play button, boom, there you are. Or the Paragon app. The app has radio. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, which will both be super busy this week with the final regular season tournament week coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and some locales Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with that West Central tournament kicking out, or tipping off today. So you can watch all that Paragon TV, Big Elk TV. Also, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, go back and listen. iTunes, KADSAM.com. Go the iTunes route. Just hit the subscribe button, and you will be alerted when a new podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
Not as disappointed as I thought I would be after the way that that Dallas game ended yesterday. I think it had kind of an air of inevitability about it because the first game was pretty good, but you never really, even though the Raiders were thrown in the end zone to tie it, you never really felt like the Raiders were going to win that game, or at least I didn't. The second game was a blowout. The third game was a blowout. All home teams had won. And so before the kickoff of Dallas versus San Francisco, knowing Pittsburgh and Kansas City was last, you had it just the just it had to happen. Somebody had to lose at home.
Yeah.
And it was just like, darn, wish somebody else would have lost at home, because that kind of means it's either this one or the Rams. And that game didn't go as planned. But it's the way it goes. Lots of soul searching and team adjusting needs to be done in the offseason at the Cowboys. We'll talk about all that throughout the week, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know what? The sun came up. So
sun came up. We're not sure about Dallas. We're not there, but I'm sure it came up there as well. Let's talk about the high school basketball playoff pairings that were announced on it's later Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock-ish. And so this is just it lays out where the districts are, where the sub-regional sites are, where the main regional sites are, where the areas are, all four areas in each boys and girls Class A and B. We'll just start with the very first one that popped up on the list. Arapahoe-Butler has been a team that's been in the top 10 on the boys' side, top 8 on the boys' side the entire time this season. The girls are right there on the cusp of that, and so Arapahoe-Butler will play their first two at home. They'll host a district with Thomas and Cheyenne. They'll play the first round of regional at home as the sub site, and then they'll all meet up at Moreland for the regional main site, and Enid will be the area site for Arapahoe-Butler and Cheyenne Raiden.
Pretty good draw right there for Arapahoe, right? I mean, the path looks pretty simple, I think, for both teams.
You got the ceiling,
yeah. Of course, the ceiling boys, by the way, I think have always been kind of under the radar and they're living in the shadow of that girls team. I saw them for the second time this season on Friday night. They're a team you're going to have to contend with. We've mentioned Visai last week. And I'm using air quotes here, wrong with Visai. If they can get it back going, how I think they can, that could be tough. They could be a tough out too. But I've always been high on both Arapahoe teams, and I think they got a pretty good draw here.
Man, for me, the boys have it tough. Mm-hmm. When you look at obviously they're the seeded team in their regional. And maybe the regional draw isn't too terribly bad. But, boy, you look down there, you mentioned Sealing. You know, Sealing's a team that's not going to be in the top eight on the boys' side, but that's a good basketball team.
Very good.
Garber is a team that has played, that won a state title and played for a state title in the last 2 years.
Arapahoe knows them very well.
Absolutely. You know, they played that classic last year. Then you've also got Visai. We mentioned them. As far as ranked teams in that area, you know, that's the good news, I think, maybe for Arapahoe Butler on the boys' side at least, is you're not going to see any of that until area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good part of the draw.
Position yourself to get
that's right
into that area championship game.
Win one of two to go to the state tournament.
You're in a good situation, yeah.
On the other side for the Lady Indians and Cheyenne Raidens in the exact same spot as Arapahoe Butler because they're in the same district, right? So this applies there as well. You know, you see Frontier, which is the ranked team, the seeded team there for the girls' side in that top regional. If you're Arapahoe Butler, that's going to be a regional final. So you don't have to run into that on Thursday night, right? And so if you're the team that's not one of the seeded teams, quote-unquote, the further down the line it takes for you to run into one of those, obviously the better. And so for Arapahoe Butler on the girls' side, being the 12th-ranked team, they won't see number 8 Frontier potentially until a regional final. So in that way, I think you're right. The draw looks good in that way. But on that other regional that comprises that area, to me, is pretty tough with Sealing, Garber. You see Laverne there. That's a team that's kind of flown under the radar, mm-hmm. boys-wise especially.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and Visai, that's a tough one.
I forgot about Laverne. Yeah,
yeah, for the Indians to get through. So that's Area 1 in Class A boys and girls. Area 2, man, the Trojanettes of Canute appear to have it rough to me in that regional. You're talking about number 1 Hydro Weekly would be a potential regional final. Also, you're talking about Navajo.
That's Area 3. I'm sorry.
Area 3.
Okay.
You're talking about Navajo in the first round of regionals, which is the number 11 team in Class A. So on the girls' side for the Trojanettes, it's a pretty tough road to hoe just to get to the area tournament. And then you've got the likes of Calumet, Cyril, and some others, Oklahoma Christian Academy, waiting down there.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think they're fortunate. I think we knew kind of going in that Canute, for the first time in a long time, not hosting a district, but not going very far for a district. So I think it's a fair draw for them to go to Burns Flat and that 3-team tango with Snyder. But yeah, I mean, you got your Navajo, like you mentioned, Hydro Weekly. What more can we say? So that's a tough ask for the girls, definitely.
I would assume that both Canute teams get byes? I would assume probably so.
Well, the Canute boys are the only ranked one.
Yeah.
So that would
make
a safe
sense in that
assumption
way.
But I could see where the girls could not. I don't know. I haven't looked at the other records. Listen, Friday was crazy busy for me.
Okay.
I haven't. But I could see that too. I mean, I think it totally makes sense for where they're sent. It's not a long drive. You know, they didn't do enough
to host the district. You don't get to host, but you don't have to play Friday.
Right. I could see that.
Down in Class B, the first ones you'll notice is at Hammond, and Hammond has all the way to area on their home floor as the Lady Warriors' number 2 team in Class B. And so they get the benefit of the doubt there hosting the regional. So they're the regional main site. That means the Lady Warriors won't have to step off their home floor until heading to Woodward for the area tournament in that district.
And not a lot of travel. Isn't that's something Hammond's been screaming for, you know?
Oh, for sure. And the problem for them has been one of their district mates is that Leedy has been a fixture in the top 8 in both boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't need a way high ranked one team to carry the other because they were both there and it made sense. This year's not that case. And Hammond, see, where have they gone? They've gone to Cashin. They've gone to Cleveland. They've gone down to Verdon. They've gone all kinds of different places.
All over.
You know, yeah. Chickasha. You know, they made it into the state tournament through there. So, yeah, they, you know, last 5 or so years, they've been all over the map. Now they just go right up the highway, staying at home for regional and then going to Woodward for the area tournament. Hammond has the district with Leedy and also Sharon Mutual and Tologa as a consolidated team there. Just looking through that regional Leedy Corn Bible, I don't see a lot to trip up the Lady Warriors ahead of maybe a area final matchup against Arnett and Brooklyn Bayless.
Yeah, that's really the only team I could see is Arnett, and that'd be a tough matchup. But I'm sure Hammond, you know, had a big sigh of relief when they saw this. And finally, you know, they protected that number two ranking. Some could argue number one, depending when LaMega tripped up a couple weeks ago. After seeing them Friday night for the first time, how they went toe to toe with one of the top five teams in all classes and ceiling, had that 6-point lead, and then it just, you know, got away from them. But my point to that was they are worthy of being a top team in Class B, that being Hammond, and they're worthy of hosting a district and finally getting a break travel-wise on their way to looks like a easy path to the state tournament.
Yeah, it does. It, at this point, after seeing what the road looks like, I will be shocked if they're not in the state tournament on the girls' side for Hammond. That over-under we're going to talk about here in a couple of days, I've got one for sure. Hammond has a great path laid out there. They played fantastic basketball all year long.
Yeah.
And so that looks, just looking at it, now you got, obviously you got to go win the games, but looking at it, Hammond's in a pretty good spot to be able to move through that area. On the bottom there, you've got Mountain View, Godibeau, Arnett, are a couple of the teams that you kind of look at. But that's more on the boys' side as far as Mountain View Godibeau, number two team in Class B.
Yeah.
You know, that's a potential matchup if the Warriors or the Bison of Leedy were able to sneak into that area final. That's who would be waiting, more than likely, would be the Mountain View Godibeau Tigers. Woodward is the area site, and as we mentioned, for Leedy and Hammond at least, Hammond is the regional all the way through. Down in Area 3, that's where we find the Eric Lady Bearcats and Bearcats. They'll be at Sentinel for district. Sentinel for district. Verdon will be their sub-site. The main site for that regional is Chattanooga. Just glancing at it, man, I don't mind this for Coach Jans and the Lady Bearcats.
Really?
I don't mind it.
Okay.
If there's anybody...
I don't know. What, Sentinel's tough, but... they're
Lady Bearcats are good, too. I mean, the Lady Bulldogs?
Yeah. I see why Sentinel's getting there because of the boys. But, Lone Wolf, Grant. So
or either one of those. I mean, because here's why. Duke is number 6, 13-2. If there's a team in the top 8 I would want to see in my regional on this side of the state, it'd be them. We've seen this in the past where the Lady Tigers have a really high ranking and a really good record. And some years, sure, they bust through right onto the state tournament. Other years, not so much. And so for me, in this part of the state, that's who I would want to see. And that's what, you know, in the regional final, it would be one of those where you thought, oof,
right.
I don't know if we can hang. I think you can. So, yeah, Sentinel, Eric, I don't mind that at all for them on the girls' side. Boys' side, the Bulldogs. Looking at a potential regional final down in Chattanooga against Duke. And then on the other side, you've got Big Pasture, Lakiba Sickles, Roff, which is the number one team in Class B. So that's, you know, an area final waiting on the boys. But I don't mind that so much, if I'm being honest, for teams that aren't ranked either one of them in the top 20. I mean, it's not like you can look for a whole bunch, right? If on the girls' side for Sentinel. And Eric, did they stay in? Yeah, they stayed in at 16, so they are a ranked team. But anyhow, I don't mind it.
No.
For any of those teams, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lady Bulldogs and the Lady Bearcats in that area tournament in some way, shape, or form, and that might actually be a game that comes back around out of district.
Yeah, that's true. And, man, if you can get to that area tournament, that's when you, to me, just from an outsider looking in, and I would think a player would think like this. So you get to that area tournament, you are within striking distance of a couple good things happening, of getting to the state tournament. So, and there are opportunities there, like you said, for the Eric girls, Sentinel boys, even Canoe boys. I think if you can get to that area tournament, you never know.
Yeah, and It wasn't that long ago Sentinel girls lost a district and made it to the state tournament.
It's true.
So
that is
there's something to be said about creating some momentum down in those consolation bracket games and catching teams off losses coming back through in that area tournament. Jim Traber coming up here in just a couple of minutes to give us his thoughts on what happened over the weekend. In the NFL playoffs, we got to talk about what happened in Dallas before we get him on. Everyone's going to talk, obviously, about the last play. And was that a great idea? Was it not? You know, execution obviously wasn't there. But the truth of the matter is this. That last play isn't the reason the Dallas Cowboys won. The Dallas Cowboys lost that game. Complete and utter lack of discipline is. Franchise record 14 penalties. And here's the truth. Everybody wants to talk about, oh, it starts at the top with McCarthy. Nope. It starts at the top with Jerry Jones. What is the one consistent the 35 years him owning the team?
Right.
It is either, even when they were winning Super Bowls, they weren't disciplined. They were just so talented, it didn't matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he still had the White House, and if anybody wants to know what that is, just Google it up, and you can figure it out with Nate and Michael Irvin and the rest of them. They weren't disciplined back then, but they were so good, it didn't matter. Right? And
yeah.
And maybe a lack of discipline is why they only won 3 in 4 years and didn't stay together in winning those titles for a longer period of time. But since then, the one consistent problem has been, you know, I mean, how many years does it feel like Dallas is in the top 3 or 4 in the league in penalties? Almost every year. I mean, they led the league this time. And then yesterday was just, it was an embarrassment. Listen, I'm not upset with how the Cowboys have been drafting. They've been drafting phenomenally, right?
Oh, yeah.
They really have.
I mean, yeah.
Ever since they picked Zach Martin instead of Johnny Manziel, it was like a totally different organization. Glitz and glamour, for some, at least with the draft picks, is gone. Let's get the right guys in the right spots. An interior lineman instead of a Heisman-winning quarterback. I couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it to this day that in the 2014 draft, Johnny Manziel wasn't a Cowboy.
Well,
but
you felt like that was the turning point of this franchise, was he's finally going away from...
Or somebody else is.
Yeah, or some, you know.
So the drafting is what it is, but here's the one problem, and it is too much stock in the guys that you're drafting. Exhibit A, Ezekiel Elliott and the ridiculous contract that the Cowboys divvied out to him. Exhibit B was front and center yesterday. You and I and anybody that watches college football and roots for Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or even Texas knows Connor Williams is terrible, and he's been terrible since he had the burnt orange on down in Austin. And he is just a joke. But he was a draft pick that they're trying to look like they're the smartest people in the room for taking when he was sliding down the board, and he continues to get wrecked. Connor Williams is not an NFL offensive lineman, and they keep trying to make him be. And, oh, by the way, who was getting called for holding more often than not? Holding, 52.
Yeah. It was always him.
Now, what
back to what you said about when I – because we were all texting about the game, and I text that about the undisciplined part, and I said, and it starts at the top, and I was in the process of typing, and I don't mean the head coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I thought that goes without saying. But I'm not trying to make myself sound smart. I'm just saying I totally agree with you. Absolutely. And that's, yeah. But the scary thing is, if you're a Dallas fan, is that even if and when Jerry decides to step down, and that won't happen until we all know why or when, then his son's going to take it over, and I think it's going to be rinse, wash, and repeat. Am I wrong? Do you think there would be a different way of thinking, or do you think we think like that because we've seen tendencies from his son to be like that, but once his dad is out of the picture, do you think he'll go, you know what, now I get to run how I think it should be ran, and that's how everyone else is running their franchise?
Probably not, because you already see him kind of doing radio show.
Right, but we'll talk
kind of
about this as, you know, offseason approaches, and, you know, we still have playoffs to talk about. But as far as what Dallas needs to do in the offseason, you know, and you mentioned about, you know, free agency shouldn't be the the be all
Hail Mary. Yeah,
Hail Mary. It shouldn't be.
No.
We mentioned the drafting, but you shouldn't hand out the contracts to guys who don't deserve it.
And it's always
handcuffs you in the long run.
And here's the truth of it. It feels like when Dallas signs somebody else's players in free agency, it's normally pretty smart deals.
Mm-hmm.
But where they screw the cap up is when they pay their own guys because they overvalue them in their minds because, hey, we were smart enough to draft them, watch this. Instead of just paying them what the fair market value is. And players have figured that out. They figured out kind of how to play Jerry or Steven or whoever it is.
Yeah.
By coaxing extra money out of them to make up a bidding war that's just not there. And I think because it's the Dallas Cowboys, some of the players are perceived more talented than what they actually are just because they have that star on their helmet. What did you think about the last play real quick?
Well, it's one of those plays that if it works, you look like a genius, and if it doesn't, then we're talking about how bad of a play it was. I get it. You know, you caught him off guard. I probably personally – I mean, listen, what's the saying? You saw in the commercial over and over, what's the saying that Matt Damon was saying? Fortune favors the bold?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I get it. I mean, you gotta have guts and go for something like that. I personally wouldn't have done it unless I had a timeout in my back pocket. There was no timeouts there. It was, what, at under 20
– 14 seconds.
Dak had to have that clock in his head, knowing when to get down, knowing the situation of get the ball, hand it to the official. You know, everyone's going to say, well, the official wasn't there, and he ran into him, and it caused him to not set the ball. You got to know football. Know that this is how the rules are. They have to set the ball in order for you to spike it. So I totally get why the play call could have worked, but I actually put blame on Dak for not knowing when to get down.
100%. I think
I don't blame the. At first, I'm like, "What are you doing, Kellen Moore, making that call?" And then I thought, surely he told Dak, "You have 10 seconds. That's all you have. Unless you have a clear path to the end zone, get down, get up, and get the ball to the official and spike it."
It's obviously risky without the timeout, but it. And you know, I think I sent you all this text. Like, okay, McCarthy. He even mentions that they go through this kind of stuff. They clearly didn't, or they didn't explain to him well enough, or Dak freaked out one of those things. Because in 14 seconds, you ought to be able to run 12 yards, stop, hand the ball. I mean, if you're the center and the quarterback, you let Dak hands the ball to the ump, he puts it down, he gets out of there, and then you guys take your spot because everybody else is ready. They ran it perfect. Everybody else was standing there ready to go, just waiting on the ball to be snapped. And in 14 seconds, you ought to be able to do that. Even if he probably went five yards too far. But even then, they had enough time if it's executed properly. But who in the hell thought they were going to execute it properly? That's the problem with this team. And the game management, the time management, and everything with McCarthy. It's a staple. These screw-ups are a staple of Mike McCarthy if you paid any attention in Green Bay. So it's not surprising that he made what seems like a pretty good call, or Kellen Moore did, or whoever. But McCarthy's team screw it up in the end because he's terrible at managing the clock or teaching how to manage the clock. And it was clear Dak Prescott had no idea the referee had to touch it, or the center didn't, but Dak handed the center the ball.
Right.
It's clear they didn't go over that. And if they did, then Prescott just choked. That's the only two options.
Yeah.
The only two options.
Yeah.
You know, do you take two shots from the 40? I mean – honestly, I would rather have one from the 25. Look at what Herbert did the other night. From the 25, just lasered one in there between, because you can throw it hard enough to get it.
Yeah.
Whereas from 40 yards, it's a little harder ass.
And a little longer to have a play develop.
That's right.
Outside of,
and you couldn't block him anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
he was scrambling for his life anyways.
It was a lot of things. And that scrambling, the offensive line has eroded immensely in Dallas from what it was just a handful of years ago. And the undisciplined nature of the team are two of the biggest problems outside of the coach and time management. Joined now by the voice you will hear hopefully at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and also winner of some kind of World Series of Poker type event, Jim Traber. How are you?
Whoa. I'm sick, man, but I'm doing good. Everybody good out there in Western Oklahoma?
Doing good. We didn't blow away on Friday and Saturday, and so I think we're all right. Tell us a little bit about the event that you won down there in Durant this weekend.
Well, $100,000 guaranteed tournament, and it ended up being 600 people and $200,000 in the pot. And I won the Zangwill thing. I won a ring. I won $30,000+. And I won a seat into the Tournament of Champions, which is a $1 million tournament in July in Vegas that I automatically get in for free. So it's crazy. I mean, to win a ring is unbelievable. Not many people to get a chance to win a ring, and I did. So I'm really excited about it.
That is awesome.
When you say, I mean, because I think at some point everyone's watched a little bit of the poker boom that started way back, you know, in the mid-2000s with Moneymaker winning that World Series of Poker title, the main event. So it doesn't get you a seat into that, but it gets you a seat into one of the World Series of Poker events out in Vegas in that, what, geez, three-week-long thing that goes on out there?
Well, actually, it's a lot longer than 3 months.
Is it? Okay.
It's 3 weeks. It's almost 3 months.
3 months.
But, no, what it is that this is a totally different tournament, but it's the World Series of Poker out there, and then they have the World Series of Poker circuit events.
Okay.
And so they have those all over, and this was a circuit event. And if you win one of the bigger tournaments in the circuit events, then you go to play in this other tournament, which is called the Tournament of Champions. And that's what I get in for free, so it's pretty cool. I'm really excited about it. Very proud of myself. And it's hard, man. It's hard to last all that time. I mean, I played about 14 hours on Thursday, and then we come back for the final table, and then about 4 more hours, and then I ended up winning, so pretty cool.
That's awesome. That is totally awesome.
That means you could read people like a glove, right? Like you can tell their bluff. Do you use that in everyday life?
No. Look at people playing through everyday life. But it's something you want to see. You know, I mean, I'm not one of those people like staring other people's eyes, but I do kind of try to figure out how they play and if they're any good or not. If I play for about an hour at a table, there might be two or three people that I say to myself, be careful with them. There might be two or three people that I say, I want to go after them. So, you know, you try to learn, you know, what you can do with people. So it's fascinating to me because it's competition against other people, and I love that.
Yeah, and it's something that it's a lot of math goes into it, too, just to think about what all the odds are and being able to calculate those in your head is amazing to me on the fly.
We used to have a poker night in college, and it was a bunch of guys. We'd always have fun, and there's no clear favorite every time we played. One time we invited a girl. She took us for everything we had. She could read us like a book, and we could not figure her out. And she was never invited after that.
Women are amazing. Women are amazing in poker because, one, men don't think they're any good right away, unless they're a famous woman. Two, you're right, they read people much better than men do. So, yeah, women, if you're a woman and you can figure out a way to play poker and you're good at it, you got a chance to win a lot of money because automatically when a woman sits down, most men go, oh, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to light her up, you know.
All right, let's go. Let's look at this weekend in the playoffs. Man, watching that game last night with your Steelers and the Chiefs, the only thing I could think of was, how in the world? It's a testament to me, to Ben, to Mike Tomlin, to just the organization of the Steelers that they're even playing in that game because they had no business being a playoff team. But down the stretch, they won the games they had to get themselves that shot last night. Just talk about the season, and I would be immensely proud as a Steelers fan just to be able to get into the playoffs with a team that really wasn't any good.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it. And maybe the worst offense I've ever seen. I mean, I hope that within the next week or so they fire Matt Canada. I think he's done a terrible job. And everybody says, well, what can you do with Ben? How about you don't run it right up the middle, first down and second down, and have third and eight all the time? How about you use some imagination? Yeah, it's amazing that they were there. They didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. And I knew they were going to get lit last night. I mean, it was kind of fun in the beginning when it was, you know, 7-0. And you thought, huh, but, yeah, I mean, it's just, it got ugly pretty quick. But it was supposed to get ugly pretty quick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Unlike your beloved Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, talk about that game. I mean, you had said that you thought it was a break for Dallas to get San Francisco. Neither one of us thought that. Just because of the way that the 49ers could pound the ball at defenses, and the Cowboys all year long had trouble stopping people like that. Now, if you want to let them be athletic and rush the passer and all that kind of stuff, sure, they can cause havoc. But just being able to be disciplined enough to stop the run play after play after play, Dallas's defense wasn't that. And we saw that in the beginning with San Francisco going up and down the field. But undisciplined is the word that I take out of that game. The Dallas Cowboys have been undisciplined ever since Jerry Jones took over. For a five-year stretch there, they were so talented it didn't matter, and they were able to win some Super Bowls. But since then, discipline at the top of the organization filters all the way down through, and you saw it yesterday with 14 penalties and not being able to execute what should have been a simple little play to get a little bit closer for a last play.
Yeah, I mean, I hear all these Cowboy fans and Dak Prescott and everybody, Mike McCarthy blaming the referees. Just beyond belief, man. Everyone, by the way, every one of the penalties that were called, they showed it, and it was the penalty. Why is Randy Gregory grabbing the guy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe the 49ers was a bad matchup, but I think they were going to lose to any one of the three.
Yeah,
I don't think they're beating any one of those three. And the problem is – you know, under Mike McCarthy, that they're 6-9 outside their division. That's what they are. They play in the worst division in football by far. So it looks all well and good when you go 12-5, but you can't beat anybody big boys. And they got a lot of problems, fellas, a lot of problems. I think they got 21 free agents. And when you pay Dak Prescott all the money that you're paying him, it's going to be hard to keep guys. So I don't know, man. First of all, I'm firing Mike McCarthy today. He is the worst I've ever seen with clock management, game management. You know, he can say after the game all he wants, we did what we wanted to do. Okay, you did what you wanted to do. But you didn't teach your team to give the daggone ball to the referee. That's what you're supposed to do. On TV this morning, they showed Fitzgerald, you know, the wide receiver out in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They showed him two different times where the ball went down. He went and picked the ball up, ran it in, gave it to the referee, got in line, they spiked the ball and kicked the field goal. You know why? Because that dude knows what he's supposed to do. The Cowboys have no idea. Their quarterback has no idea. I mean, they are so poorly prepared. They are so poorly taught. They are so, like you said, undisciplined. It's just embarrassing. First play from scrimmage, Randy Gregory is about 3 yards offside. They're embarrassing. And Cowboy fans, you could cry all you want about the referees. Referees didn't lose that game. You did. And you're going nowhere. Cowboys are going nowhere. They're better than they used to be, but they're going nowhere unless they somehow get some discipline. And I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, we were just discussing what happens if it's, you know, Steven takes over and not Jerry, but it appears to me that Steven's right on the path of Jerry, doing the radio shows for no reason and all that kind of stuff, and enjoying the glitz and the glamour of being the owner of the Dallas Cowboys instead of being in the trenches working to figure out a way to make your team a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, when Steinbrenner's son took over, he changed.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
He changed. You know, he was different than his father. But you're right. It looks like Steven's going to be exactly the same this year. So, I don't know. And by the way, too, can we forget this stupid America's team? Did you see how many 49er fans were in the stands? Did you guys see all the red in the stands? I'm going to tell you what. When the Pittsburgh Steelers play a home game, there aren't any fans from the other the other team. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, overrated organization I've ever seen in my entire life. They never win anything. They can't even fill their own stadium. Now, it was loud in there. But you notice, when the 49ers went the length of the field, you heard people cheering for the 49ers. So, I don't know what to tell you, dude. I wish I could be a little bit happier for your Cowboys, but they got big problems.
Yeah, Jerry built the stadium too big.
Maybe you should have saved money on the seats and put in some window shades or something. It was crazy.
They're America's team. If they're America's team, they should be able to fill up a million per stadium.
Hey, other games, the Bengals Raiders game. We talked about officiating. Do you think that had anything to do with they kept going over and over and over again about the inadvertent whistle and how the touchdown shouldn't have counted, and lo and behold, Bengals win by a touchdown with the Raiders trying to go in to tie the thing. Thoughts on that one, or did it matter at all?
Well, at the time, it wasn't a 7-point game, right? I mean, the Raiders came back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when they scored. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't like to blame the referees. Once in a while, they make mistakes. You know what? The Dallas Cowboy fans are crying about the referees. They made every right call. You guys are both fans. Can you tell me a call that was bad in that game? Tell me one.
Oh, no, we need to bring you in on our group text. I mean, we were yelling. We were like, why are we committing these penalties?
Honestly,
we weren't complaining about the refs. We were
honestly, for me, maybe the run that San Francisco, and they readjusted the spot. that one went for Dallas. I'm not a, you know, if we're looking at inconclusive evidence, I don't know that that was completely there on that third down run for Samuel to ice the game, which led to being able to see the ridiculousness at the end. I mean, I don't.
The referees. You know when the referees are not 100% is when they have to make a pass interference call and those kind of things. But most of the other times, fellas, they do what they're supposed to do. And like I said, they kept replaying. By the way, Tony Romo, for the first time ever, acted like a Dallas Cowboy fan all during that game. You know, I mean, you could hear it in his voice. He was so fired up when the Cowboys were coming from behind. He was so down early. And even he, every time they had a replay, Tony Romo was hoping, okay, well, this is going to show that it wasn't the right call. And every single time, both him, Jim, and Nance went, oh, yeah, that's the right call. So the referees make some mistakes here and there, but they're better than people want to give them credit for. Tell Dak don't throw it to the other team. That'd be probably a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
And remember, I told you guys all year long, you can get all the interceptions and fumbles you want against teams, but when you play good teams, it doesn't happen. Right? Haven't I told you guys that all year long?
Oh, yeah.
And their defense is average. That's the truth. Their defense is average. By the way, did you see when Diggs came up to try to get an interception and he got burnt and it was a bad throw? It might have been a touchdown because all he wants to do is get an interception instead of covering somebody.
Yeah.
So, they got some more. By the way, Parsons is an incredible, incredible stud.
Yeah,
I mean, an unbelievable stud.
I think for me, the takeaway for the season, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, is the defense is better. It's not as good as some wanted to let on, but it's got pieces. The disappointing part of this season was the offense and its inability to be what people thought it was going to be with the weapons, and that goes to the offensive line. That offensive line is eroding. It's not. This isn't the middle of the decade when Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and Travis Frederick was still playing. That's not what, even though a couple of those names are still there, that's not what this is. And so that's where
Connor Williams
dude,
stinks.
We knew he stunk at Texas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've known that for years that he's terrible.
And your center stinks too, dude. I mean, Martin is a superstar. Smith was a superstar. He's going down. Collins, I think, is overrated. And then your center and your guard both aren't any good at all. So, you're right. But I don't know, man. You pay a quarterback that much money, he better do what Mahomes does, right? What Mahomes do? 5 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Pay him that much money. Dak Prescott? Sorry. And I like that for Dak Prescott. But he is not, he's not worth 40-something million, if you ask me. But in this day and age, I guess you got to do it.
How much of joy did you get on Saturday night watching Bill Belichick in New England just get kicked around all over the field by Buffalo and Josh Allen?
It was beautiful. Buffalo's really good. I can't wait to watch Buffalo and Kansas City. I'm so excited about that game. New England, listen, New England had a tremendous year, and that quarterback's going to be good. But playoffs change things a little bit, guys. It's a little bit harder in the playoffs. And Buffalo came out, and it was 14-0 before you could breathe. And New England's not going to be the type of team that comes from behind. So, yeah, that was fun to watch. I just don't like the way Belichick treats people. I think he's the best coach of all time. So it was nice to see him lose. Nice to see him go down. And we got some good matchups coming up. We do. We got some really good matchups.
See,
including tonight.
Yeah, tonight. That's where I was headed. Tonight. That should be a good one. Both teams won on the other's home field this season. The Rams were able to pressure Murray in both games. The one, they got a couple of takeaways. The other, in the loss, they didn't. But to me, going into this weekend, and it still remains true, the most pressured up quarterback in the whole thing this weekend is Matthew Stafford. He is supposed to be the savior into a ready-built Super Bowl winner to replace Jared Goff and be the thing that gets him over the top. Tonight starts that. Can the Rams be able to knock off the Cardinals and then see what they could do going and playing Tom Brady and the Bucks?
Yeah, it seems like these two teams shouldn't be playing so early. But it's what happens.
Like, and the Chiefs and Bills.
Yeah.
Can we petition to get that one as the AFC champ game? My goodness.
Yeah. Well, at least the Chiefs and the Bills are playing in the second round.
Yeah.
This is the first round. And, you know, I picked Rams to win the Super Bowl. I got money on them. So I'm hoping that they can start to roll a little bit. But, yeah, it's going to be a great game tonight. I think the Rams are going to win the game, but you can't count out Arizona. You really can't. See what Kyler Murray, that Rams defense has got to hit Kyler Murray. If they hit him, they can beat him. Definitely beat him if they hit him. By the way, I think, you know, I said before Jalen Hurts went to the NFL, I don't think he's going to be a starting quarterback in the league. And he has pretty much kind of proved me wrong, but his accuracy, fellas, his accuracy is just sometimes he's got dudes open that he just can't hit. He's got to get better. He's got to figure out a way to get better at that. He's just not the answer as far as his accuracy is concerned.
Well, we were talking, and Aaron alluded to it, about who has the most pressure, and I threw him up there because of how many first-round picks, I think it's two, maybe three, that Philly has next, or this upcoming draft, could he be playing? In that game, was he playing to keep his job?
I don't think so. They do. They have three first-round picks. So they need help at different places. And I think he's good enough. They're not going to win a championship. But he's good enough to help them win that division or get close to Dallas. So I don't think you should take a quarterback, especially because it's not a great quarterback draft.
Yeah.
You know, the Steelers are the ones that need to take a quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Ian Rappaport. Did you see that yesterday kind of leading into the game with the Steelers?
No, what did he say?
He said that Steelers fans don't get excited about the offseason, that inside the organization they're going to have a Rudolph versus Haskins battle to be the starting quarterback next year of the Steelers. I'm sure that doesn't excite you very much, just listening to you throughout the year.
That would be just thanks for making my day. I'm already sick. That's disgusting, if that's true. Now, did he say that they're going to draft a quarterback?
He said they were hoping. I think they were hoping they were intrigued by Kenny Pickett and hoping that he would get there. But as you would know, the GM Colbert has only traded up three times since 2000 and only spent a first rounder once, and that was to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. So the chances there probably weren't very good. Steelers drafting 20th. That's probably on the bottom end of where most people think Pickett would go.
Well, Minkah Fitzpatrick was a great move. The other one, they traded up and got Devin Bush. That was a great move. So if they could get up and they really like Pickett, I hope they do it. Quarterback is so important, fellas. You need a really good look at the quarterbacks that are left. Mahomes, Allen, Brady, Kyler Murray, Stafford, right? Garoppolo is the one that's not near at the level. You know, I wonder if Garoppolo is going to be with San Francisco next year.
You would think he'd make money. He's made himself money or at any spot, either for the San Francisco 49ers or if somebody else wants him with the way that he's played, especially down the stretch in games. Think about this. They had no timeouts and like 30 seconds left last week just to get into playoffs, just to get into overtime of that game against the Rams, and he let him right down the field, looking like a guy that you can hang your hat on.
But how about that throw he made? We overthrew the guy and just threw it right in the defensive back's hand.
Yeah, and then there's that.
I mean, that's just terrible. I mean, that's just, you're not going to go long distances in the playoffs making plays like that. So, yeah, that's, he's an interesting player. He's not a superstar, but he can look really, really, really good. But the quarterback, dude, is so important. You've got to have a great quarterback if you're going to be, long into the playoffs. That's the way it is.
As much as your Steelers are, and obviously Cleveland in that division are kind of scrambling, trying to figure out what they're going to do, it's pretty obvious that Cincinnati has got a guy that's going to be there for the long haul and be a fantastic player in this league with Joe Burrow.
Well, Burrow's the best quarterback in the division. I mean, Jackson, he still has problems with accuracy. And obviously, Baker Mayfield, he's average at best. And Roethlisberger is he's an old man. So Burrow is, Burrow's the man. He's the best player in the division. So, see what the Steelers can do. I'd love to see the Steelers get like a Cousins or somebody and then draft a Pickett, but I don't know, man. They figure out ways to win, and they got players. They got players. That defense did a nice job for about a quarter and a half, and then they got lit because they're just not good enough to play with Kansas City.
My final question is kind of out left field, but Saturday morning I'm listening, and all I hear from questions from listeners, I think it was Ravens Highland I was listening to, was Mike Boynton has to go. He has to go. And then they go and they beat Baylor out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Was that a turning point for OSU? Because we talked about, they have nothing to play for, but now that they see, we can beat the best team in the nation, we can go out there and we can knock off some other guys.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that Boynton played that up and said, look, they screwed us. We can't go to the playoff. We can't go to the tournament. So let's make this our big game. And they came out like crazy. That first, 6 or 7 minutes was just abuse. And then they held on. What a crazy win. If I'd have told you that they were going to go to Baylor win and that OU's going to lose to TCU, we would have never thought that. So, yeah, that was an impressive win. They're fairly talented. Now, they'll probably turn around and lose to TCU this week, more than likely, because that's what they do. They go up and down. But it is a crazy situation up there. And they got so many guys that haven't played well. Rondo Walker, Anderson. The one that I love, the big fellow from Canada.
Oh, yeah, Moncrief.
Moncrief. He's not even playing, barely playing. It's unbelievable. It's just crazy.
Last question about the Thunder. This last week and a half or so has almost been perfect, where they've played their guys, they've got them all some time and played decently well, and lost leads at the end through the midway point of the season, 14 wins. That puts them second to worst in the West, and now they're, fourth worst from the bottom. How would you assess the first half of the season from a tanking perspective for the Thunder? And then the last question is, will this be the last season that they actually, quote-unquote, go for the tank?
Well, I'd like to see them have 10 wins right now instead of 14. Games that maybe they shouldn't have by playing some of the wrong people. But, yeah, I said this on TV last night. I do think this is the last year. I think they're going to be too good next year to tank. Not that they're going to be some great team, but I think they're going to be able to beat people. So I think that this probably is the last tank year. They've got to. How about Mobley? Is that kid any good?
Yeah.
They've got to get one of these big men, in this draft. And they got a chance. They got a chance to, if they can get one of them, then they got a chance. I do think, Dort, Streaky Dort, has shot the ball a little better here lately. But I don't think he's a great shooter. I think he shoots it way too much. But I do think they've got the basis of a nice team. They just need a big man that can play. That's what they need.
Well, Jim, thanks so much for joining us. I know you're clearly not at 100%, but congratulations on your win this weekend down in Durant, and we'll be looking forward to listening to you this week.
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Jim Traber. Fighting through today to join us here on the Skinny on Sports. We definitely appreciate him being on. Clearly not at 100%. Sounds a lot like I did the early part of last week.
Well, I think after winning that tournament, I'd be feeling 100% no matter what. But that's pretty cool, man. I wish I could play poker like that.
That is awesome. a ring.
I thought it was bracelets.
Well, that's what he's saying about the different things.
Oh,
the World
okay.
Series of Poker is the bracelet. The circuit events are the rings.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
It's very cool.
That's very cool. That's intimidating, too. What if you go up play poker against a guy and he just flashes up a ring?
Look at this.
Yeah, look at that, bud.
Fold. All right, everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.